Last weekend, Joyce and I were privileged and we were blessed to lead a religious liberty tour to Washington, D.C. with 28 of the most exceptional and wonderful young people and adults you can imagine. We had a fantastic, an amazing experience in our nation's capital. When you travel, there are so many things that you cannot control. You can't control the weather. You cannot control transportation. Sometimes flights are delayed. Sometimes Amtrak is 3 hours late. There are a lot of things you cannot control. But there are other times when you travel, when you just happen to be at the right place, at the right time, and you experience a serendipity that will remain with you for the rest of your life. This past weekend, we experienced not one, but several of these serendipities. Yes, we did see Marine One land on the South Lawn of the White House. We just happened to be at the right place at the right time. And that was quite an experience. But one of the most powerful experiences of the trip was when we went to the Jefferson Memorial. We talk about religious liberty. And it's at the Jefferson Memorial, that beautiful, majestic memorial that is modeled after the Roman Pantheon, with the 19-foot statue of Thomas Jefferson, that I like to talk to the young people about religious liberty and freedom and why it is so important. You know, you can talk about it in the classroom, you can talk about it in the pulpit, but when you go to a place like that, somehow you can connect. But let me tell you what happened. Paul, you're not going to believe this. We got to the steps of the Jefferson Memorial, and there was a choir. A wonderful choir singing. 1,300 voices. It's a choir called the Millennial Choir, primarily from the West Coast. I found out there are actually 2,500 people involved. And they come from a number of different Western states. They're all volunteers. They went to Washington for the weekend for concerts, and they paid their own way. And so here we are, walking up to the Jefferson Memorial to talk about religious liberty, and there is this unbelievable, gorgeous, majestic, powerful choir singing, "God Bless America, America the Beautiful, Amazing Grace," and just one beautiful selection after another. You think that didn't get our attention? Oh, it was marvelous. When I'm talking to the young people, I tell them that 240 years ago, when 56 men placed their signature on the document that we call the Declaration of Independence, they pledged with firm reliance on divine providence to mutually pledge to one another their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. One thing I think our young people learned on this trip is when the Patriots started the revolution, the chances of them defeating the greatest, most powerful army on the face of the earth, the mighty British Empire, was slim to none. No one thought that this loose group of colonies had any chance against the mighty British. And so when those men signed their names and they pledged their lives, they really meant it. If we had lost the Declaration, that would have been grounds for treason. And every one of those men would have been arrested, convicted of treason, and they would have been executed. We need to remember that. Tomorrow we celebrate our independence. But we can never truly celebrate our independence until we acknowledge our dependence on those who paid the price to make it possible. One of the most powerful moments of our trip was going to Arlington Cemetery and standing before the grave of Josh Harris, Navy SEAL, who was killed in action in Afghanistan. His funeral was held in this sanctuary. That's the price of freedom. And we must always remember that freedom is never free. This morning, we celebrate freedom. Not just the freedom of our nation, but when we gather around this table, we're celebrating the true freedom, freedom from the bondage of sin, freedom for fear, freedom from the bondage of all of the things that hold us close and will not free us to live the life that God has called us to live. But this freedom came at a price. In just a few moments, we're going to invite you to come to the front. And if you're not able to come to the front, we're going to come to you. And I want to ask you to do something. So many times when we observe communion, we just observe it. It's a formality. But this morning, I'm going to ask you to not be in a rush. We're not in a hurry. But to stand before the deacon who has the bread and to take the bread, and you will hear the words, "This is the body of Christ broken for you." Think about what that means and then partake of the bread. And then you will come over here or on the other side, and you will hear the words, "This is the blood of Christ shed for you." Think about that. To focus on that before you drink the cup. To come with all humility, with all reverence, and with all gratitude. For me personally, the most powerful moment of that religious liberty trip was when we went to the Korean War Memorial. My father fought in the Korean War, but he always downplayed it. He said, this was just a secondary war. You remember Harry Truman called it a police action. He said it wasn't like the Second World War, but over 36,000 American soldiers died in the Korean War. They have this beautiful memorial in Washington. If you've never been there, you should go and see it if at all possible. So when we arrived on last Saturday a week ago, it was June the 25th. I should have read my history book. It was on June the 25th, 1950, when the Korean War started. It was the 66th anniversary of that war. And there were a lot of people there. There were a lot of dignitaries there, a lot of military brass there. And we recognized that a big celebration was going on. We understood after we got there, we heard somebody speaking, and they were speaking in Korean. They said they were reading the names of every South Korean soldier who was killed. They started early that morning, and they were going to read past 11 o'clock that night. Every single name. I saw an old man who was standing over on the side, a Korean man, and he had a cap on that said veteran. I walked up to him and I shook his hand and I said, "You fought in the war." I could tell that he didn't really understand English, but he understood enough to know what I had said, and he nodded his head. And then I said to him, "My father fought in the Korean War." When I said that, that old Korean soldier stood at attention, and he looked at me, and he bowed. And then he started to speak, mostly in Korean, but I could understand he was expressing his profound gratitude for what my father had done. We cannot truly celebrate our independence until we acknowledge our dependence on those who paid the price. This is our declaration of dependence on the body and the blood of Christ. As we prepare to come to the table, I want all of us to share together in the 23rd Psalm. You know it, King James Version, of course. "I will lead us. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen. Thank you.
beautiful.